Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey!
How we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, Brendan behind the glass. It's The Killer Bees, a Wednesday edition on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Well, my goodness, a bomb dropped yesterday right as we were going off the air. It happened in the last 10 minutes or so of the show yesterday. I didn't want to dive into it yesterday because I literally didn't know a single thing about the bombshell that dropped. But we find out that Brian Flores is suing the NFL, the New York Football Giants, the Miami Dolphins, the Denver Broncos, and John Doe teams 1 through 29. So, in essence, Brian Flores kind of suing the Houston Texans, by the way. They're listed in the complaint that Brian Flores filed. All right, so Brian Flores alleging that there was racist hiring practices in the NFL. He's pointing to this current coaching carousel. He did also complain about the Denver Broncos back in 2019. John Elway, we'll get into all of that in greater detail. But the big story here, racist hiring practice from the New York Giants. They hired Brian Daboll, not Brian Flores. They brought Flores in for an interview after Bill Belichick wrongfully texted him congratulations in a text message that was intended to end up in the inbox of Brian Daboll. Is this fair or not, what Brian Flores is alleging?
I think it's all fair. I mean, it's all, you know, the fact that he went through it. And, you know, he said on multiple interviews this morning, he deals in truth. So if you're dealing in truths and this is what you went through and you can't take it anymore and you've thought it through in terms of the ramifications it may have on your career and, you know, and as it relates to other careers and you just decided in your heart of hearts this was the time to do this, then more power to him. Because, you know, if he went through what he went through and, you know, and Belichick, and it was just obviously everybody was tearing apart Belichick's text, he was just trying, and even Flores himself said he was just harmlessly trying to congratulate one of his former assistants. He just got the wrong guy, and in the process now he's going to be in the middle of this. But it is very, very interesting because of the timing of it, because of the fact that Flores is still a finalist for the Texans job and still involved in the Saints coaching search. And you got to believe that he put a lot of thought into this. And that if he goes all the way that far back and now wants to continue this going forward and realizes the ramifications it may have on his abilities to be an NFL head coach again, then, you know, he felt like this was the time to do what he did. And it is, the timing is odd.
There was 218 notations in what was a 58-page complaint directed at the NFL, the New York Giants, the Denver Broncos, the Miami Dolphins, and John Doe teams 1 through 29. The very first notation in the preliminary statement says, as this class action complaint, and more coaches can get in on this, they're saying in this complaint that there's upwards of 40 coaches who could join this class action lawsuit against the NFL and the teams. As this class action complaint is filed on the first day of Black History Month, we honor the brave leaders that fought so hard to help break down racial barriers of injustice. Martin Luther King Jr., Harriet Truman, Rosa Parks, Frederick Douglass, Jackie Robinson, Mamie Till, to name only a few. I've seen some people saying that the timing of this is suspect in the fact that Brian Flores still is a name in contention for other coaching jobs in the NFL. The Houston Texans here locally, just down I-10 to New Orleans, a candidate for that job. At least he's going to be interviewed. It seems like he and his attorneys were very deliberate and, like, they wanted to do it on February 1st, on the first day of Black History Month, which, I mean, you can make your own opinions for that however you want. As far as this goes with the New York Giants, 100% Brian Flores was in a sham interview with the New York Giants on Thursday and had dinner with the GM on Wednesday night. That's 100% a sham. No doubt about it. The reason that they had Brian Flores in town and Leslie Frazier in town the Friday following was so they could check the boxes off the Rooney Rules. There's no doubt about that. But it's going to be very difficult for Brian Flores, in my opinion, to prove racial discrimination whenever they hired Brian Daboll, yes, a white man, but a man they thought was better for the job than Brian Flores. So was the interview a sham? Absolutely. Is it going to be difficult to prove racism in this? 100% absolutely.
Okay, that's your opinion. I think that it's going to be a challenge, but it also, what he's really leaning on in that situation is just how the timeline unfolds. The fact that they know that they're not interviewing him with the purpose of making him their head coach, they're going to just do it to check the box.
And well, he did interview before Thursday on Zoom before they hired Brian
Daboll. Right, but
as
we know, the NFL says you have to do it in person.
Sure, yeah.
With a minority candidate. So to his point, which is easy, it seems to be fairly easy to prove, is that on the timeline, it's just going to be like if Belichick and his, and they're going to want to see all of his text messages. They're going to want to try and uncover it to figure it all out, to pinpoint it.
The discovery in this is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, and much like we saw with Gruden and the Washington football team and those text messages and how focused they were, this is going to be 100 times more interesting because of the fact that if you can go back with Belichick's text messages to try and figure out with the other conversations how he knew what he knew, and if they can verify that too, then whether it's that, you know, you can say that it was racially discriminated against or not, they had already made up their mind on a coach. They were just doing what they had to do. Obviously, he was insulted by that. He feels like that's why he was dealt with the wrong way, and he felt like that was part of the lawsuit. I think it's you can still prove it, the fact that obviously you hired a white guy.
What did the Giants do wrong, though?
Well, I think that before that any of the word got out on anybody, they had to interview all of the potential candidates. If they just interview all these guys before they make a decision, whether it be, and you know what, and the bigger thing is they're going to get crucified because they didn't cross their T's and dot their I's properly, right? They let it out of the bag that's the direction they were going to go, which a lot of times, as you and I both know, internally, there's going to be discussions. That's our guy. We're probably still, you know, we have to do it for the league. We'll talk to a few more guys, but we know that's our guy.
Let's go to Brian Flores, who was on CBS this morning. What is it, the morning show or something like that? That's the show on Apple TV. It doesn't matter. Brian Flores was on the CBS morning show, the national morning show today, and talked about how this was a sham interview.
Now, I've worked so hard to get to where I am from in football, to become a head coach. Put 18 years in this league, and to go on what was going to be a sham interview, I was hurt.
And, but you went knowing that you probably weren't going to get it. Why did you continue to go?
There's still hope. Maybe it's call it the audacity of hope.
So that's why he continued to
do it. You know what's
funny? That's why I said that, like, D'Amico Ryan.
Right, you and I had this conversation yesterday.
Yep.
And it covered both sides of the spectrum. Why go? He covered that aspect of it. But also, in the D'Amico Ryans doing what he did, if he did it for that reason, it's Brian Flores all over again in terms of why he brought the suit up. Because of the fact that if you know you're not going to get the gig, it is annoying and it is in a lot of ways, they feel degrading, the fact that you got to go through it when you know you're not going to get it.
Look, there's a problem. Like, let me be very clear saying that. The fact that you have currently one black head coach in the NFL of 32 teams, and you could argue, well, you know, there was three next year, there's still job opens. So I'll do you the favor. I'll be conservative. I'll say, okay, three black coaches in the NFL. That is still a terrible ratio. You have three of 32 coaches in the NFL that are black, while 77% of its players are black.
Is this still one general manager?
I believe there. I think
Chris Greer,
yes,
in Miami is the one that's still employed. Detroit.
So I think there's two. There might be two, three.
Maybe three.
Yeah. So there's, I mean, the same amount of ratio. You have two or three general managers out of a player pool that's 77% black. So I want to be very clear in saying that the ratio and that there is a problem. Like, I want to be 100% clear saying that there is a subtle undertone of racism in the NFL, and the ratio is disproportional, 100% fact. Mm-hmm. And some of the stats that the lawyers in this complaint, the 58 pages that they put together, are eye popping. Since 2012, the average white coach that gets fired is 3.5 years versus the average black coach is 2.5 years. White coaches on average since 2012 are getting one full year more than minority head coaches. That is a problem. That is alarming. That is troublesome. 100% true. Like, you look at the numbers, you look at the averages, you look at all that stuff, and you can tell that there's a problem in the NFL. Now, while saying that, you also have to go case by case with all of these openings. And I look at the Giants, and they went through the interview process. The Rooney rules, you could say, are flawed. I would say that they are flawed, because Brian Flores interviewing on a Thursday when everybody in New York, at least in the brass, right, in the upper management, and somebody leaked it to Bill Belichick, they knew they were hiring Brian Daboll. That doesn't mean a sham interview is a racist interview. Same thing with Leslie Frazier. That sham interview on Friday that he had after Brian Flores, yeah, the very Jeremy, next day, that was a sham interview. That's the very way that, difficult
but the
to,
way
per,
you
to prove
tie it into the racism
racist hiring practices, though.
The way you tie it into the racism.
My sentence.
You keep going and going and going forever and a day.
You
and
talk
it's a discussion.
70% more than I
no.
do.
No, oh my
yes,
God.
Yes, you do.
Keep going. I'm done.
Well, that was the end of the sentence. You
good,
can counterpoint if you
oh,
want.
Fine.
Okay, well, I'll keep going. Let's get to Brian Flores' lawyers who are on CBS as well, saying that they knew that he wasn't getting the job ahead of time.
We knew he wasn't getting that job. On the day before that Giants interview, we reached out to you, CBS, to all of you, to start talking about doing this interview today because we knew he wasn't getting the job. We knew it was a setup. We knew they were just trying to comply with the Rooney Rule. We started drafting the complaint, and here we are.
So that's what the lawyers had to say about the fact that they knew he wasn't getting the job ahead of time, but still the hope is why he took that interview with the Giants on Thursday.
The way you can tie it into any kind of racism is the fact that it's tied into the Rooney Rule, and the rule is specifically tied into race. So therefore, they are going to play that to the highest extent in the fact that it's one thing to say he just didn't get the job. You can say that, you know what, it was coach versus coach, but because it's the Rooney Rule and it's involving race, and he is an African-American, and he is not, and he is only, in his opinion, and the opinion of his lawyers and others, and there's obviously other coaches now that they said, because they went on after they did the CBS This Morning interview to get up, and they did the interview with Mike Greenberg, to which they said coaches have already reached out to them on a multitude of fronts, from the pay for losing that he also claims in the suit that he went through with Ross and the Dolphins, to also the fact that they also have met multiple coaches that have said, look, I only got an interview or a second interview or an in-person interview because of the Rooney Rule. And you know, he said, and it's going to be interesting because there's also punitive damages and there's financials involved in this too. But he's saying that at the end of the day, what he really wants is change. He wants a change so that the Rooney Rule isn't the end-all be-all. And there's a more open, broad stroke that comes across to make this more of an open process. And he said he wants ownership to be able to, in their hearts and their minds, to be able to consider on an equal basis all people of all color and race. Good. I mean, I hope he gets to that. But when you look at the ownership alone in the NFL and the fact, aside from Shad Khan, they are all blue-haired, blue-blooded white guys. And it's a good old boy network. And we've seen it. We've been through it from the anthem and Kaepernick and all the other issues. And they are not going to want to change. They are not going to want to deal with this. They forever and a day don't want to be tied in for any way, shape, or form. That's why we had this conversation amongst the three of us off air about will he ever get another job in the NFL. Not because of the fact that he's qualified and he's skilled. It's because of the fact that the good old boys, we've seen it. We've already seen it with the other issues. They're going to wipe their hands clean of this and go, nope, not us, not here.
Let's talk about that on the other side. Will Brian Flores coach again in the NFL? And do you still want him as the coach of the Houston Texans if you're on that side before? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branagh. But first, I want to take a minute on Pro Dunk Hoops. It's the best basketball goal on the market. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true, authentic feel. Adjustable goals for every part of the game. You can lower it down to 5 feet if you're like me and you need to throw down some jams and you're short. You can raise it up to regulation if you want to work on that shot or if you have a kid working on their game. Also, if you're throwing down jams like me, they have a competition-grade breakaway rim that's perfect for dunking, hanging, keeping you safe. Also, an extended overhang over the driveway way, which keeps a clear path under the rim, keeps you safe in that way as well. You don't have to worry about any stanchions that are right there, right underneath the basketball. Durability is a strength of Prodon Coupes with their stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, and exclusive rust armor, making them sturdy and strong. Best feature? They install the goal. Yes, the pros at Prodon Coupes professionally install the goal perfectly height, perfectly straight. You don't install it. Don't lift a finger. Let the pros do all the work for you as they come out and install that goal to the perfect height and the perfect straightness. Produnk Hoops comes in a variety of sizes and options that'll be a perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit produnkhoops.com. That's produnkhoops.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Yeah, well, I let both the teams know that we're gonna foul, but look, I love coaching. You know, I'm gifted to coach. I know that. And the relationships I've built with players, coaches, support staff, I'm gifted to coach, and I love coaching, and I want to coach. But this is bigger than coaching.
Of course.
This is much bigger than coaching.
He's right. It is much bigger than coaching. Brian Flores saying that he discussed with both teams, the Saints and the Texans, that this was coming. He gave them a warning that this was going to happen before it was released yesterday afternoon, just before 3 o'clock. We'll get into the idea if Brian Flores will ever coach again in the NFL and the chances he could still be the next head coach of the Texans here in a minute. 713-780-3776, though. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Eric, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead. Never mind. Eric, we'll get to you in just a second. I do have a text in here, 6183. Jeremy is so sweet. Sarcasm. People like him can't see or simply refuse to see the racism. They're a part of the problem. I believe that there is racism in the NFL, 100%. I think the ratio is flat out stupid between head coaches. Last year, there was 3 black head coaches in the NFL, as to 77% of its player pool is black. The ratio is a huge problem. There is subtle league-wide undertones of racism, 100% without a doubt. I'm not saying and dismissing the idea that there wasn't racism here with the New York Giants hire. I'm simply saying it's going to be nearly impossible to prove unless they can find something in discovery that shouldn't be there.
Okay. I mean, and obviously I've stated what I think, and I think how it relates to the actual Rooney Rule itself is going to be a basis for how they bring it into a race-related conversation in trying to win that. But, I mean, you know, people are going to have their opinions all over the place, not just in sports. This is now a nationwide issue that is going to be discussed because of what Brian Flores is doing. And I think that as it relates to what he did and how he did it, it is a very, very bold and big step for one individual. And I think they left it open as a class action suit because they want and fully expect there are going to be numerous other coaches that jump in, because we gave you just some of the numbers. But when you just look all across the league, and again, what they're going to say about the Giants is they've never once hired an African-American or minority head coach. They're the only franchise in the history of the NFL that has not had at least one, I believe. And so they're going to push that factor as well. It's going to be something that has opened up a lot of minds, a lot of dialogue. And I think that in his mind, what he's trying to do is be a positive reason for change in doing what he did. But along the way, and granted, he's been in the league for like 18, 19 years. So, you know, he's made a lot of money. He's done a lot of things. But he had to think in the back of his mind, this isn't just about this coaching cycle and potential head coaching jobs. This is about the rest of my future. Because Lisa and I were talking about this, and she brought it up to me because she initially said, will he ever coach again? I said, I don't know if he will in the NFL, because unless ownership changes across the NFL, they are so deeply old school white guys that they might think that no matter where in the organization, if you hire Brian Flores, that they're probably in their minds thinking that they are asking for trouble. But she said, wouldn't a college opportunity come up for him? It should. It damn well should, because as a football coach, no matter who you talk to, and as a man, that's the other thing that's important here. It's one thing if you're talking about a guy that has some questionable things in his past and his resume, things like that. But the fact that everybody that you've heard that has spoken about Brian Flores has said, like one of the most upstanding men you're ever going to meet in your life, and also from the standpoint of a football guy, knowledge and what and experience. So I would think that he would get another job somewhere, in college, somewhere else. But just being realistic and honest with the listeners, I think because of who owns every team in the NFL, I think he's going to find it hard-pressed to find a job.
I think he'll be. I don't think he's ever going to coach again in the NFL. Now, if I'm Roger Goodell, I try to find a place to hire him. I'll be honest with you. Like, I would, if Brian Flores is sacrificing his coaching career to be for change in the NFL that desperately needs change, and it's going to take a long time to get to that change, what better guy than Brian Flores to have the guy leading that charge?
Yeah, I was going to say, you just hit on something that whether you were going that directly to that route or not, it's something that flipped a switch with me going, if Goodell really wants to handle this the right way, take the Rooney Rule and create a certain department in terms of race relations as it relates to players and coaches in the NFL. And if Brian Flores is up for it, because again, you're asking a coach to step away from coaching to do something for the league. But if he truly is in this for the betterment and the awareness factor of minorities in this sport and as it relates to all sports, make sure he has to be included in all the negotiations for all the interviews for GMs and coaches and other aspects of how this relates and see if you can do something as a league to be proactive. Because we know the NFL, the last thing they've ever been, especially since under Goodell's watch, has been proactive.
I tend to agree with you 90% of that. Could you argue the Rooney Rules were proactive, and could you argue the new changes to the Rooney Rules where now they're attaching incentives for teams to groom young black coaches that get hired as head coaches? Like the Baltimore Ravens are going to get compensation for grooming David Culley to be hired as the Texans head coach.
But in order to be proactive...
There's not enough there. Jared, I want to be clear with that.
No, I know. But in order to be proactive, right, then you can't have teams that are trying to circumvent it just for the sake of being able to check a box.
But that's the stupid thing of the rule.
And it's also on the teams then, too, right? It's how you plan and who you plan to interview so that you understand it's not just about checking a box.
But like,
it's giving every skilled candidate their chance.
Yeah, I agree with that. But if you know for sure you're hiring Brian Daboll, but you know you have to comply by the NFL rules, you're going to have sham interviews. And they have to figure out a way to eliminate sham interviews. I completely agree. The fact that Flores and Leslie Frazier had an interview Thursday and Friday when Bill Belichick already knew who the head coach of the Giants was going to be is flat out stupid.
Okay, but let me ask But let me ask you this. Is it more detrimental to the rule, or is it more advantageous to say you don't have to meet with them in person?
Yeah, see, there's pros and cons of both. Like, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? Like, the benefit of the Rooney Rule is that you have at least two minority candidates and at least one of them that are in person that you're talking to. You're getting to know. Maybe that makes them more attractive to a team or for the next coaching cycle. So that's the benefit of it. Not saying it's perfect. It's far from perfect, and I think it's flat-out stupid. The negative of it is what we're seeing. It is Flores getting an interview on Thursday, Frazier getting an interview on Friday when they already knew it was Daboll all along.
But that's what I'm saying. So maybe, and that's why I'm asking you guys, is it advantageous or is it a negative and a drawback to say you don't have to meet in person? Because a lot of what we're hearing too is, why am I going to waste all my time? My time is important to me.
Yeah.
I got to get on a plane. I got to spend a day and a half, 2 days probably in your city, meeting with you, doing big dinners, talking about things. But at the end of the day, I know I'm not getting the gig. Why can't I just do that over a Zoom chat?
Yeah.
You check your box, and I don't have to waste my time.
I don't know what the right answer was with that, but it's a good point. 713-780-3776. Sorry to keep you waiting, Eric. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Eric, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, I think they explained it today on Get Up. Like, why did he go to the interview? Well, one of his lawyers said that, well, it would be a stigma. Like, the black coaches didn't really care to come to the interview. We gave him the chance, but didn't show up. I think that's why he went to the interview. You know, he knew there was a sham, but he didn't want that stigma of the owner saying, well, he didn't really care to show up to the interview because the owners didn't believe this was going to come out. And also, I think the Texans should take a chance on hiring him. That's my take. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, Eric. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. Like, I'm of the belief you take the interview, to Eric's point and to Brian Flores' point, too. He doesn't want to have that negative stigma. I agree with that. Even if he knew he wasn't going to get the job, it's wrong. It's a sham, 100%, absolutely. Now, it goes to the question. I already said I don't think he's ever going to coach again in the NFL. It sounds like you're along those same lines. Like, if you're the Houston Texans, like, does this change what you were thinking? If you were thinking it was Flores all along, do you stick with Flores? Where do you stand on that side of it?
So, I've got a little bit different, I think, opinion than a lot of people out there, and I don't know. But I think also, just to finish up and put a bow on what you were just saying, too.
Let's hit the Texans on the other side, finish up the bow. The
reason why I think you still take the interview, too, is because I think somewhere along the line, because this goes back to 2019, right? So they asked, why would you take the second interview with the Giants this year? Mm-hmm. Because this has been percolating. This has been brewing in his head. So if he thought at any point in time he was going to do something like this, then he had to see that interview through. He couldn't just blow it off, because the first thing they're going to do is say, well, you never even showed up for the interview, so then why, you know? So he had to make sure for his case that he was making, whether he ever, you know, got lawyers and took it to this level or not, that, but you got to believe after 19, we already know. Things were already in motion in his mind,
yep.
And that's another reason why he went through the second interview.
The Denver process was something that irritated him, and like John Elway said that it was BS, what was put in the complaint about the Denver Broncos, and then how things went down in Miami, which we got to get to that part of it, too, because that, in some ways, is bigger than everything. $100,000 being offered if you tank a game, that's taking a dive. That's ruining the integrity of the game. That's a huge story as well. But coming up next, yesterday we had a show consensus. We put out a vote on ESPN 97.5's Twitter account. Who do the fans, who do the Bees want to see as the next head coach of the Houston Texans? Brian Flores won that poll by a landslide. He was the heavy favorite. Now, with a day later and everything that happened yesterday, do you still want to see Brian Flores as the head coach of the Houston Texans? We got some calls on the line, too. We'll get to those when we return. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing is the only place you should go to in the city of Houston and the outlying areas if you need anything done with your roof, whether it be a leaky roof repair or a new roof on your business or your house. Or by the way, what people don't know is they also do home repairs. They do fences in the yard. They're doing my fence in my yard in the next 2 weeks, and they have been fantastic throughout the process. And the great thing for all of you guys is the fact that you got anything going on, all you got to do is call them at 832-521-3001, and they will do a free no-obligation inspection where they come to you, tell you what they can do, give you a rough estimate of what it'll cost, and then they go back with the rest of their day. You want them to come back, you book the appointment, best customer service in the business, and the best ratings, the best warranties, using the best products. It's all those boxes checked and more when you go to Fitz Roofing. I mean, Corey is not only the owner of the company, he's the vice president of the Houston Roofing Association. You don't get voted to that type of position unless you are respected by your peers and people know you're an expert. Check them out today. Go to FITZroofing.com and see all the ways they can help you. But get that free no-obligation inspection, 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I sent messages to both teams, letting them know that we would be filing, but also that I still had very interested in coaching and leading, either one of those teams.
Brian Flores on Get Up this morning with Mike Greenberg, saying he gave notice to the two teams he still, one he interviewed with already, the Houston Texans, and then one he plans to interview with, they plan to interview him, the New Orleans Saints. 713-780-3776. We'll get to the, do we think that the Houston Texans should still hire Brian Flores if that was the plan in just a moment. Let's go out, though, to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We'll start with Dominic. Dominic, you're in the Hive with the Killer. We'll start with Kerry. Kerry, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Listen to y'all every day at lunchtime. Think y'all are great. Think
appreciate
y'all are
it,
great.
Kerry. Thank appreciate you, Kerry.
The Belichick dry snitching.
Kerry, you have to call back.
That makes you wonder.
We lost you for a second. Can you repeat that?
I said Belichick dry snitching.
I said with Belichick making the phone call.
Oh.
My uncle calls that dry snitching.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, with it, as far as Brian Flores going to be a Texans coach, I think it's great because I don't too much care for our coach now. We won't talk about that. But
okay,
as far as like the good old boy crew, I remember seeing Lovie Smith and thinking, man, that is great. You know what I mean? That's good. They're finally, trying to break out of that. But then you see the same thing over and over again. And what I'm wondering is like y'all said, do you really think the Texans, the way they are, like I said, because I'm wondering if they want a yes man. Brian Flores don't seem like he's a yes man.
do you think they'll still take a look at him and say, hey, we want Brian Flores to come coach for us? And like I said, I think you guys are great, and I'm going to sit back and listen. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, Gary. You too.
Appreciate the call, Gary. As far as, like, we've discussed this a lot about the Brian Flores situation. Like, I don't feel that Nick Caserio was ever going to hire an equal, right?
Right.
Like, I felt that he wanted to hire somebody that was a subordinate, that was not going to, that was just going to be a yes man, not somebody that would push back. I felt like that's why Brian Flores was never a real candidate for this job, is because he would be the pushback. He'd be an equal to Nick Caserio, and that's something that Nick Caserio doesn't want. So I felt like Brian Flores was not an actual candidate for this job before. It'll be interesting to see what the Texans do going forward. If it's not Brian Flores, how do they go about it? When do they announce it? You know, what kind of statements are made surrounding the hire that they make?
Well, they're
going
to have
Flores.
To answer either way now, whether they like it or not. They can't sweep this one under the rug. It's too big of a deal. They're named. A lot of people are wondering why are the Texans named. They're named in part because of the way they handled the David Culley situation as another one and done. There's going to be they're going to have to answer. Nick Caserio might not want to, but if he doesn't pick Brian Flores, there's going to be questions that are going to require answers, and it's going to come from the Texans, and it should come from Nick Caserio. I would expect it has to come from Nick Caserio. As it relates to Brian Flores, these are the kind of conversations that you and I had because of the fact that I agree with you. I don't think they're going to pick him. I don't think Nick Caserio wants a guy that's going to push back, but it's the exact reason why I want him to get the job. Because I've already seen the direction that this franchise has gone, culturally or otherwise, in terms of my way or the highway, Nick, and or if Jack's involved at all. But it's not the kind of, with the headset issues, with the practice, being at practice, with meddling too much where you don't need to be, I want someone that is not going to stand there and take it like David Culley, like a puppet. I want someone that, you don't have to do it on every situation, but pick your spots and push back. And if you don't agree with it, state it and stand true to it, because that's what we want from a fan of this football team. We want continuity, but we want all sides to be heard, and we want the best possible outcome for the franchise. We don't want Nick's vision alone. We want all eyeballs on it from all directions, from all people involved in the process. I think Brian Flores, in my mind, could do wonders for the Houston Texans if they still hired him after all of this, because of the fact you're getting a guy that's not afraid to take a stand, that also, because of all from Robert McNair and the inmates' comments to all the undertones we've heard from ex-players and front office people about the conversations that were very racially driven, that you could put a lot of that to bed and you could say, you know what, we're going to do what we want to do here regardless of this suit. And we're going to get the right guy for the job. And if they did all of this, I'm sure, one, they could get out of the lawsuit. But more importantly, they could start to erase a lot of the negativity that surrounds this franchise from the standpoint of racism and the way they do business.
Should they hire a coach based on that, though?
I'm not saying that's the only reason they hire him, because I still believe he's a leader of men. And I still believe a lot of
said. It's two separate conversations, because you believe he should be the head coach before all of this. So, I mean,
of all the guys they interviewed, he, in my mind, was the guy I wanted to see most get the job.
Right. But they shouldn't hire a coach based on all of the other stuff, right?
No,
the history,
no,
the past.
Still, yeah.
You still hire the best man for the job, but you think it's Brian Flores anyways.
But answer me this. Do you think of all the other guys that we've named that have had interviews that were candidates, do you have anybody else that's got that pushback factor?
No. That's why I think Brian Flores isn't the leader
in the
clubhouse.
That's why I said, I understand that point of view saying that's why he's not going to get it. That's exactly why I want him to get it.
No. And I think it's a good point. We talked about this on the show yesterday as well. Like, if that was going to be the reason that you hire a coach, I would have liked to see a different pool of candidates than the pool of candidates that you have. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Dominic, you're on the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Big Texans fan all the way out here in Jersey.
Nice.
Just wanted to state, Brian Flores has been my number one guy from the moment he was let go in Miami. And just to piggyback off the last statement, you know, I don't want the Texans to be a victim of the circumstances and just hire him for publicity and, you know, a good PR move. This guy's overly qualified, and I think he's going to be out with a vengeance this year coaching. Let's face it, you know, our team is predominantly African-American males. They are going to play hard for this guy. I mean, this is what we need. This is finally the Texans' opportunity to turn the tide here and do the right thing. I think Flores is still the number one guy, and I really hope Cal isn't afraid to go against the other owners, and I hope he makes the right decision here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm.
Will he even chime in?
No, he probably won't. He's letting other people do it. If Brian Flores was the guy before yesterday, they should make the hire. I don't believe Brian Flores was the guy. I think it's going to delay the hire. That's my prediction of how this is all going out. But it does seem like the overwhelming support for people that voted for Brian Flores yesterday, that they wanted him to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans, that what has happened since we had that vote, nothing has changed in their opinion.
It's actually probably gotten stronger because he's, again, to my point about he was already willing. I believed he was the only guy that would push back at Nick. But now he's willing to make a stand. The caller makes a great point on this, too, because now you don't think that any minority playing in the league wouldn't want to go play for this guy, wouldn't want to see this guy succeed, wouldn't want to be a part of whatever he's trying to build, to do what he's trying to do, to buck the system and say, we can do this too. I think that it's even stronger today and last night than it was previously because of the fact that now he's going to get support in droves from all across the NFL, from ex-players and ex-coaches to current players that say, I want to play for that guy.
Yeah, and if the Texans were leaning Brian Flores, I don't think that they were, but if they were, this shouldn't change it at all. They should be, like you said, a little bit more excited to get
the deal
done.
You know why it does, though? Because they keep their finger on the pulse of the media and the backlash and the talk. And then, you know, we've already seen Cal at his little...
See, you always say that, but I don't agree with it. Like, the fact that you trade Hopkins, the fact that you, interview McCown.
What I'm talking about is they care about what the media says. They care about the rumor mill and the innuendo that's out there.
What do you mean, though?
They're imaging. Their image. They care about their image. So they care when, like, all the way back to the J.J. Watt, they could have traded him for a third. Mm-hmm. But they didn't want that stain to look like we got rid of him.
They were doing Watt a favor.
So, but at the same time, they're doing themselves a favor because now the fans can't say, you went and traded the most popular guy in the history of the franchise, the guy that says Houston, that screams Houston, and you got rid of him. They care about their imaging too much. Sometimes it is too much.
But then you look at the McCown interview 3 times in 13 months, and it's like they couldn't care less about imaging and PR and media.
Well, you know what? Again, you don't know until he gets the job. If he gets the job... Then there's also something that's to be said about what the hell's going on around here. And then we know we bring the Jack factor in, but you also bring, like, how could you do this? It was already a stretch to go get David Culley, no matter how long you planned on keeping him. Now, instead of at least getting a guy with a little more experience, now you're going less experience. And so that's another head scratcher. But you're right. They don't care about their image if they go and they hire Josh McCown. But I just know too many people that were internally involved in a lot of the discussions over there that tell me, like, I thought the Rockets were bad in terms of how much they cared about anything being said about them in any medium or even any fan chats. But I was told that the Texans are equally as bad, if not worse.
713-780-ESPN. We got some calls on the line. We'll get to that on the other side. Also, Josh McCown. How does this affect the view of Josh McCown? We still got to get to the tanking aspect of everything that Brian Flores had in the complaint as well. We do it next, but first, former world champions Keith Thurman and Mario Barrios collide in a high-stakes welterweight showdown, and the co-main event hits just as hard as four-division champion Leo Santa Cruz returns to take on Keenan Carbajal Saturday, February 5th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, from the Michelob Ultra Arena in Las Vegas and live on pay-per-view. Buy now on the Fox Sports app and watch on any screen you want. Thurman, 29-1, 22 knockouts, former unified world champion against Barrios, who's 26-1 with 17 KOs. That is sure to be a thriller in Vegas. The co-main, Santa Cruz, a versatile four-division champion against Carbajal, who has won 15 fights in a row. Catch all the action Saturday night live on pay-per-view, and you can buy now on the Fox Sports app.
ESPN 97.5. All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brian Flores filing a complaint in New York against the National Football League, the New York Football Giants, Miami Dolphins, Denver Broncos, and John Doe teams 1 through 29. Brian Flores, one of the four finalists for the Houston Texans job prior to yesterday. Is he still? We'll get into it in just a second. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
I just want to say, overall, I just feel like the dysfunction within the Texans organization is, like, so, so large, and we can't really see it because we're, like, too deep in the forest to see the trees. This, every time I hear the word Josh McCown, and he's associated with the NFL coaching job, when he has never, like, it's absolutely, like, so ridiculous. I just feel like we're just too deep into it to even kind of understand. That's my take on that. Brian Flores, everybody knows racism exists. I'm a black man from Texas, been here my whole life in corporate America, so I definitely get it. But I feel like he's going about this the complete wrong way. Why not even wait for the coaching search to be over? He's still a candidate for two different jobs. He's definitely not going to get them now, and people should not think that that's wrong. Why would somebody hire somebody who is suing your organization? Like, that's not discrimination. Like, you're literally suing the NFL, and that the teams are not going to hire you now. The other thing is, people interview people all the time. Like, the Rooney Rule requires that they interview a minority. So what do you want them to do? Like, just violate the Rooney Rule? Like, it looks bad, but it's because that's what the rule is. Look at Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. They weren't going to hire him until they interviewed him. So sometimes it works out well, sometimes it doesn't. But the fact that they had already selected Brian Daboll and they were still interviewing him is not a smoking gun. Like, they were literally doing what they're supposed to do by NFL rules. So that's all I have.
Appreciate the call, Gary. Thanks for listening. And that's what I was talking about earlier whenever you talk about the Giants and how they fall in line with this complaint. Like, is it a sham interview that Flores had it on Thursday, Frazier had an in-person interview on Friday, and Bill Belichick was texting Brian Flores early in the week, congratulations, Brian, thinking it was Brian Daboll. So it's a sham interview. Absolutely. But the Giants were complying by the rules set forth by the Rooney Rules, and the Rooney Rules do have the positives. Gary brought up the Mike Tomlin point. It does give minority head coaches or candidates, at least in the building, in the conversation. They're chatting with decision makers. Now, a lot of times it's a sham. Most of the time it is a sham. Let's be honest about it. The downside of the Rooney Rule is that you have sham interviews like we saw with Brian Flores on Thursday and Leslie Frazier on Friday.
Yeah, and it's going to keep happening, and I think that's what Brian Flores says he wants out of all of this, regardless of the finances and everything else that he might get from it or lose from it from a job perspective, is he wants the rules to change. He wants there to be just a widespread change to not just the rules, but the outlook and the way and the approach that all these franchises go about it, maybe short of the Steelers, because once they got Mike Tomlin was, it doesn't end with me. We're going to do this the right way across the board, and he has done that. And I heard Lance talking about this morning, from the scouting staffs on down, the Steelers have done that. And I think that's why when you look at all of this, it's hard to say whether he's going to get another look or if the Saints are really still going to be seriously into this. This goes back again with the D'Amico Ryans thing, when all the Texans fans were saying this is the right guy for the job. And we said, well, before any of this surfaced, he's probably not going to even consider it because of the fact that he had a suit against the NRG Stadium, and as it relates to the Houston Texans and their field and his injury. And he also has a bad taste in his mouth for not only how he left, but then all of that stuff on top of it, to where he probably isn't going to even sniff wanting to be back, let alone we don't know if they even would want him back. And that's how, on a bigger scale, you say, totally get it if teams are going, whether it be the fear factor or the fact that they just don't want to. They're just going to keep their hands clean of it. They're like, yeah, we're not doing this.
See, I think that's where it needs the most change, is the changes in the outlook, is in changes in the attitude. But that's a very difficult thing to change, because now you're asking owners to change the way that they were conditioned to be their entire lives, right? Like, that's a very difficult thing to do. And, like, to me, the only thing that's going to change this is time, is evolution. And that's hard to do, because that means you're trying to be patient. Patient when you want change overnight. And it's difficult to get that change overnight when you're dealing with people who have preconceived thoughts and conditions for how they were raised.
I hate to say it, but the other thing that is needed to change is money. Because you've got to have minority yep. ownership groups
right.
that come in and try and buy these teams. Or you look at the Broncos, the Bolin family, the long time. They could have kept it in the family. But the fact that when Pat Bolin died, it's now the Broncos are going up for sale. Well, the first thing you can start doing is get a minority group together to be the people that purchase, or a one minority owner. I don't care who it is.
You still have to be the highest bidder, though.
You do, but if you are, then that's another way you can start to create change. You know what? You see and hear from all these athletes that want to make a difference and create change. Well, there are ways too, and sometimes it's as difficult as getting into the ownership group, buying the team, so that now in those meetings, it's not just all the gray-haired, blue-blooded white guys in the room. It's another voice in the room that's a younger, more modern generation and a different race than them that can come in and say, come on, fellas, we're not dealing with this anymore. We're not doing this.
I would love for that to happen. I would love for a minority owner to be the highest bidder in Denver. And there's two minority owners in the NFL, but neither one of them's black. Shad Khan of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then the co-owner in Buffalo is an Asian. I would love to see, you know, a black owner buy the Dolphins, or I'm sorry, the Broncos, and then that's where you get the change. Although the Dolphins might be on the might be up for sale here pretty soon with what was going on with Stephen Ross. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Todd, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, fellas, love the show. Listen every day, first class act.
Thanks, Todd.
If Cal McNair had a nut in his sack, he would hire this guy on spec. How in the world could you possibly bring Josh McCown in at this point with absolutely no head coaching experience and being a white guy? I don't get it. I think you bring Flores in, man, you are breaking the norms and getting instant credibility, regardless of the legalities. And I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Todd. I haven't been, let's say, I've been more understanding of Josh McCown as the next head coach of the Houston Texans, probably more than most people in this city. He was still third on my list. Let's not get that twisted. He was behind O'Connell and Gannon for me. This might eliminate Josh McCown from candidacy to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans, because this is going to be a very difficult sell. It was already a very difficult sell before yesterday. You were talking about a dude that's best friends. Well, I shouldn't say best friends. He's really tight with Jack Easterby. The illusion of how close he is with Jack Easterby is already a very difficult sell. The fact that Josh McCown literally has zero time on the job as a coach in the NFL was already something that was alarming and troublesome, and one of the biggest knocks on Josh McCown as the next head coach of the Houston Texans. It was already a very difficult sell for Josh McCown to be the head coach of the Texans. It might be an impossible sell now for the Houston Texans. Go for it.
He's white. He's got blonde hair. He's about as white as white.
See, that shouldn't matter, Jeremy, the next head coach.
But it does, because of what you just said.
The perception will, yeah.
Look, I thought about this at the minute that we started going through this last night, but especially when all this lawyer speak started coming out this morning. Like, with the jobs that are still open, the amount of extra scrutiny now that's going to come down on them, and the fact that if your job is still open, you better make sure you don't have just one Rooney Rule type minority interview that you've already done or scheduled. You are going to be hyper-scrutinized. Fair or not, it doesn't matter. In the court of public opinion, you are going to be evaluated at a higher level, at a more extreme amount of scrutiny.
You shouldn't care, though. Because of this. You shouldn't care about that.
Okay, but here's the thing, and I keep going back to this too. I understand that you say you shouldn't care because you just want to get the right man for the job. But because if you're the Houston Texans, you have your reputation with one thing, reason why you have to care a little bit more. Then you and whatever happened with David Culley last year, you got to care even more. So now I don't think you can be as, there's the right word for it, but loose in terms of free and feeling like I'm just, even if this is kind of a flyer to everybody else.
Outside the box.
Yeah. You can't go as outside the box when you've done the things that have been, that have failed, that have been scrutinized to the level they have. And now with all of this out there, the attention's going to be greater. The spotlights are going to be more. The crosshairs are going to be zeroed in on all five of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, if it's O'Connell, if it's McCown, if it's Gannon, I still think you get a lot of that backlash. But the most backlash is Josh McCown because of the connections
and you had
with
the experience.
Easterby.
That is an extra kicker.
It was already a very difficult sell. It's going to be almost an impossible sell now to announce Josh McCown as the next head coach of the Houston Texans. Now, from like a Nick Caserio perspective, though, he's going to be fired by the production of this next head coach. If this next head coach fails, Nick Caserio is going to go down with him. So Nick Caserio has to hit a home run with this hire. So all the PR stuff that you talked about, which are very valid points, Nick Caserio still has to hire the best man for the job.
And again, I tend to agree with you in any other organization that if this coach hire fails, he's going to go too. But the one thing that we know about the Houston Texans and their level of unpredictability is, just because it seems like the move that they have to make and it's the right thing to do and they have to do this doesn't mean they're going to do it, because Easterby's still there. O'Brien got more and more power the more that it looked like he shouldn't have any, and continued to add and do and trade and have free reign to do whatever. So I think that the one level of an X factor variable here that we have to factor in is Cal doesn't have his finger on the pulse. And Cal doesn't do what everybody else would or wouldn't do. And Cal might let him survive one more because, you know what, Cal looks at the books and goes, he's got a six-year deal. I mean, I got to pay another general manager and him if I let him go. So I totally agree that if this coach fails, it's on him and he should go too. I'm just not so sure he will.
We got some calls on the line, text coming in. Also, Bill Barnwell of ESPN, he had some thoughts on Josh McCown as a candidate as well. We do it all when we get back. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville again. Look, if you guys, new year, new you, and you're thinking about what you can do, it's one thing to get on a workout program to eat better and take care of yourself better. It's also another thing to improve your self-image by improving your overall image. That means your hair. If it's the back of your hair and you got that baboon's butt showing that you never used to have and you don't think there's any way to fix it, or your hairline isn't the way it used to be in college or your early days and you thought it's gone forever and the next option is to shave it, it's not. Doc Linville has the answer, and it's all natural. It's called neo-grafting, and it's simple. It's taking hair from where you have a lot of it on your head and transplanting it to where you don't have any to give you a fuller area of hair and better surface area coverage across your head. No sprays, no foams, no dyes, none of that kind of stuff that's just a cheap, quick, inexpensive fix that has very little success rate. 95% success rate. And for ESPN listeners, for you to get all the information and more, that more so than I could do in this small spot, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com. Book your first appointment to have a consultation. Normally, it's $150. They're not charging you anything. It's a free meeting. Ask all the questions. Try and figure out if they have the answers that make it right for you. If it is, and if they do, they're going to do a fantastic job like they did with me. And instantaneously, you're going to see the results. I saw all the follicles. I saw the new hairline. And with every passing day, the hair gets thicker and stronger and longer. And I can see more and more of the coverage area being filled by hair. And it's a fantastic sight. The total results can't be seen for about 9 months. But I'm already telling you, 3 months in, I can see them. You can see them today. And it's a totally different hairline than I had a couple months ago. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com and set up a consultation with my friend Doc Linville.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5.
Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.